Hello and welcome to another edition of Detroiters Think Big, a small business podcast presented by the Detroit Regional Chamber and our sponsor, Rocket Mortgage. I am your host, Devin O'Reilly, Director of Entrepreneurship at the Detroit Regional Chamber. And with me today is Kiana Broden, founder, owner, Cooking with Q and The Kitchen. It's so great to have you, Q.
I'm super excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, and I mentioned before, you look the part, you're ready to go, you're at the kitchen, you're in uniform, you're ready,
you're here, you're there.
So this will be great. So before we get into what you got going on with the kitchen and Cooking with Q and all this really cool stuff, I want to talk about your journey and kind of, you know, who you are and kind of how you came to start this enterprise.
Well, the craziest part is I did mortgages before this. It was not like I did any like the culinary training that, you know, the history of when somebody's like, oh, I'm a chef. Like, no, I did mortgages, but I've always cooked. I started doing Cooking with Q because I wanted to heal myself. I found out I had this disease called sarcoidosis. Sarcoidosis is an autoimmune disease, and it kind of affects, it's supposed to be common in Black women. And I was like, I'm a Black woman, and I didn't know anything about it. So I had to figure out what it did. And when I did learn about it, I was at like stage 4. When you're at stage 4 sarcoidosis, you're supposed to be on like steroids for 2-3 times a day. I know in my head, you don't want, you know, athletes to take steroids that much. So like in my head, like, this is my sport. I shouldn't have to take steroids. So I wanted to just find a healthier way to eat. And like, that's kind of how everything started. I had a cough, so it always sounded like I smoked 8,000 packs of cigarettes. I always had these weird rashes, like I had snake skin. I was just always sick. And once I figured it out, I wanted to figure out how I could fix it. And that, you know, I graduated from Google University. So I would Google everything to figure out what I could eat. And everything pushed me towards vegan, which was completely awkward. Cause like, we are like, our family's roots are in like South Carolina. They eat everything from the Ruta to the Tuta. Okay. And I was like, me talking about a vegan lifestyle was not a real thing, but I cold turkeyed it. And in doing so, in 30 days, my cough started disappearing. In 60 days, the rashes started going away, like completely. So once I got to that level, I was like, oh, there must be something in the food, because the only thing that I've changed was my food. I gave up like anything that was meat. I gave up anything dairy, but I felt better. And I was like, I should probably tell more people about this, because if I'm going through it, somebody else needs to know this.
Yeah, that's amazing and fascinating. And so did you have much of a background in cooking? I mean, were you basically self-taught? You learned from your family?
Yeah, it's all family and self-taught. All my grandma cooked every day. We were the family where we ate food every day together like it was Thanksgiving. She cooked dinner for everybody. It could be neighbors. It didn't matter. So I was always around people that cooked. My uncles cooked. Like, my uncle was a chef. Like, people in my family cooked all the time. So I feel like it was inevitable for me to not know how to cook.
Sure. So talk about the leap from, you know, you kind of gave us some background. You said you were working in mortgages. What caused you to take that leap from, you know, it's one thing to decide to take on a vegan lifestyle. A lot of people do it, but not everybody goes and starts their own business based off of it. So how did that leap take place?
So because I love social media so much, this is like at the cusp, like the beginning of social media. For me, when I started doing my, changing my diet, I would like post pictures. People would be like, you haven't been sick in a long time. Girl, how did you make this recipe? And I would be like, I'm going to make a website. My brain was like, I'm going to make a website, and I'm very basic. So it was like, what are you going to call it? I was like, I'm cooking and I'm Q. So we're just going to call it Cooking with Q, because we're going to make it real easy. And I'll just post my recipes here and tell them what I did. So then you won't have to ask me questions. So in my brain, I thought I was just see your problem, fix it, make a website so people can just stop it. But it makes people ask more questions, right? Yeah. So it went from, okay, we're going to start the website. And I was super scared to start my website. But as soon as I started my website, literally within 24 hours, I had a call from like Veg Michigan saying, our macaroni and cheese person backed out of our biggest, they have a big event every year at like the Novi's showcase. And I was that person. I was like, oh, I'll do mac and cheese. It was like the next day. It was like weird psycho. And I did that, but it was like people were going to my website to get the recipe. So anything I did, that's where all of the whole Cooking with Q started, because I wanted I was a person who was a complete meat eater that turned vegan. And all the vegans don't, every vegan is not the friendliest person. Sometimes you'll get vegans who are like, save the whales. Don't mess with that sheep. Those are deer, right? And then you have the meat eaters like, girl, if you're going to go vegan, you're going to die. You're not going to get no protein. And I was just over here in the middle like, can we all just get along? I'm not about to diss on my kids because I'm going vegan and they are not, they're meat eaters. So I created Cooking with Q as a place where vegans and meat eaters could like coexist. It was like, yo, we can have differences in what we eat, but let me just show everybody how to eat better together. So that was our entire mission, to show people how to eat to live by introducing more plant-based foods into your everyday life. Not that you have to be vegan. And plus, when you force something upon people, people don't want to do it. Just like if you say, Q, go on a diet, you can't have no cake. I'm eating cake every day. I don't even want to eat cake every day, but I'm going to eat it because you told me I can't.
Absolutely. So
it's,
did you,
it's real.
So are the recipes all vegan then, or are they a way to just incorporate some vegan options into your overall diet?
On our website, there are both. There's recipes for both. It's recipes to show you, because like I don't cook red meat at home for my kids. Like they get the basics. They get like, they'll get like farm bred chicken, wild caught salmon, and it's like really basic. But if a person that I know wants to eat red meat, you know, I tell them like, this is when you cook red meat, rub the meat down with ginger so your body can, you know, digest it a little bit better. So it's not that I don't want you to have it. It's just to know the healthier ways to cook it. Like just because you eat chicken, it doesn't have to be fried. Honey, my entire family, that's everybody who loves fried chicken. I'm not frying nothing ever.
Gotcha. So even though you're practicing vegan at this point, you don't, your family eats healthier foods, but they're not necessarily vegan.
Correct. My husband went vegan completely. So he's completely vegan. And it probably took like a year and a half after I was like, he's like, well, if you don't, I might as well just do it. But it makes you feel better. So you can't even be mad about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So let's continue to walk through this empire here. So we've got the Cooking with Q. So you were doing recipes and videos.
Correct.
Right. And then
so you have to get it how you live it. Like, how do you want to see it? Do you want to get a recipe or do you want to watch me cook? So I'll do the YouTube videos.
Exactly. Some people are more visual. They want to see that.
Yeah, because I'm not human. I've learned differently than other people. And then to get to like this location was psycho, completely psycho, because I had no intentions of having a space at all. But I was at work one day and the president of my company, my old company, was Matt Ishpia. And he was talking about something and I completely zonked out and I just saw this vision. And I'm the queen of, if I see something, I'll like write it down. So I wrote it on a post-it note and I had no clue what it was. And I was like, surely God gave me this for something. So let me go ahead and figure what this out. And I started doing everything. Everything from that day was, how do I get this post-it note to come to real life? And it looked like a kitchen, because in my head, I know people learn better in their kitchen. Like, you learn better in your own environment. So if I make this kitchen like very comfortable so you feel like you're at home, if I'm teaching you something here, you're going to retain it. Because like, we get information thrown at us all the time, but what is the information that you actually want to keep? And that was when I created this place, what I just wanted it to be. Never expected it to be a restaurant, none of that. It was only supposed to be a place where people could come and learn how to eat to live. Classes, that was it.
But now we can acknowledge this. Now you have this brick and mortar on Woodward, just south of Grand Boulevard. Why don't you give the actual address?
The address is 6529 Woodward Avenue. And we're literally on Woodward in between West Grand Boulevard and Milwaukee. We're in the middle of the block. This was, when I initially signed this lease, there was nothing here. It was literally nothing. There was like Hip Manic or Miss Roby shoes. That was it. Everything else was like completely dilapidated. And now it's like a really good area. It's a very, it's like a little community, but and we all like know each other, help each other, whatever we can do to help each other grow. Same.
Yeah. There's some really interesting businesses over there. I know there's some boutique shops. It's Fern. Yeah. There's
Fern is right next door. I have Yum Village across the street. Baboa Fair is coming. He's across the street. You got the 10 Nail Bar. There's a credit union here now. There's so many different things.
Cipino's is coming
now,
in there.
So Pino's is going to be two doors down. And he is the nicest guy on the face of the planet. He literally. I'm like, are you going to have a vegan pizza? Because I remember your pizza.
That's awesome. It's a great area. And so you've got this brick and mortar now. And so tell us about what you envisioned going on there initially, like what you thought this was going to be? And then we'll transition a little bit into, you know, COVID happening and how you've had to transition a little bit.
So mind you, we signed a lease in like 2017. We opened in June 3rd of 2019. Initially, this place was supposed to just be a place for like cooking classes and a shared space, right? Mm-hmm. Everything that you wanted to do to enhance like your dining experience, that's what we wanted you to do. We wanted you to come here. You might come and shop in our small boutique, but you come, you sit at and somebody's cooking right in front of you. Literally, I want to say 2 weeks before we open, you 100 people at least knocking. Q, you gonna serve food? You may as well serve food. We know you make good food. You may as well serve food. And it was like, imagine for 5 years, you're trying to figure out how to do these classes. And then in 2 weeks, now you're a restaurant. And I literally, I'm the queen of, you know, build the boat, put it on the water and just build the boat as you go. I know that sounds crazy, but I am that human. So I was like, well, let's just make a menu and try it out.
Yeah, sure.
And that's what I did. It was like we made a menu, we put it out, and like, well, like, don't tell people we're open yet, but we'll just let people walk by so we can figure out all the glitches. And I had no clue. I didn't plan for a restaurant. I've never owned a restaurant my entire life, but like, I can learn. That's the one thing I'm good at. I can learn, and keep me around people that have big brains, because I can pick their brains. They'll teach me, and then we'll all just grow together. And the restaurant is what we've been doing since June 3rd of 2019. And mind you, I quit my job. I worked all the way through this. I didn't quit my job until May 3rd of 2019. And I opened the kitchen a month later.
Wow.
Psycho.
Wow. So the kitchen functions as a restaurant first and foremost.
Yeah, we operate as a, and it's a short, it's like a shorter, everything is time. So like, we do lunch and brunch, and you can find us usually between like 11 and 2. In the springy, summery months, we're open a little bit longer, but like when it's like winter time, 11 to 2, we do lunch. You come and grab lunch, brunch, and then we do classes in the evening.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. So then you can learn to cook some of the stuff that you ate earlier.
Absolutely.
In the day. So, okay. So it sounds fantastic, but I know that model changed a little bit in 2020 with COVID. So talk to me a little bit about how that disrupted everything and how you've adapted since.
I feel like I'm a disruptor in my own self, because I like to go against the grain. But when COVID initially hit, our first thoughts were never to shut down. And there were people saying like, Q, you have to shut down. It's going to be like a media nightmare if you don't shut down. And my first brain was like, our mission never changes because of it. COVID. COVID literally enhances what our mission. We're trying to teach people how to eat to live. We're trying to be preventative instead of, we gotta be proactive instead of reactive. So now that COVID's here, now we're telling people to eat better, but we've been saying the same thing. So for us, we didn't shut down one day. We didn't shut down one day. What we did do was we knew that we couldn't get the customers to come to us to per se eat and dine in and take the classes. So we found ways to get the food out. So we ended up, it's crazy, we had started doing this meal prep in November, not even knowing that COVID is coming. So we started like testing around with meal prep, because people make excuses. So I wanted to take away any excuses for you to say you can't eat healthy. So we made a meal prep where you could get breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You can get 3 meals a day, 7 days a week. It was like $130 for vegans and $150 for meat eaters, and you get 21 meals. So we started that in November, but we didn't really push it, because I'm all about build the boat as you go. Let me figure out how this is going to work. So once COVID came, our biggest thing was like, okay, we got to get more people on meal prep, because more people need to eat healthy so they can protect themselves, number one. And then number two, if we can't get customers to come to our store, let's start calling the people that are around us that are still open. The hospitals are open. The doctor's offices are open. People are still open. They are going to be hungry. And it was like a wave of everybody wanted to help first responders, but like, first responders didn't need the help by you giving them donuts. And it's not to say that the donuts are bad, but like, they need to be healthy too. So we would call the city of Detroit. When I say me and my head chef, we were talking to anybody we could to get food out to the masses. And that's how we kind of stabilized. Cause all we wanted to do was make sure that our team, like we wanted our team to eat. Like that was the goal.
Yeah. And so we were operating also is just a straight carryout options as well.
Do complete carry out. Yep, you can order your carryout and come pick. We bring it right to your car. We did complete contactless delivery, and then we did the same thing for meal prep. So all you had to do was like let us know. We dropped it off on your porch, and that was it.
So how are you operating now that we're able to operate a little bit at more capacity? People are actually able to come in, even though it's 25%. How are you thinking about operations now?
To make it convenient for everybody, because I am still big on the safety part. Like when people come, you still don't want a restaurant full of like 100 people. So everything is just reserved. So you make a reservation. You can have a reservation and sit down. And you know, you get your reservation, you got an hour and 30 minutes. So then you know the max amount of people that can come into our building at one time is 12 customers. They're all spaced out, seated. You know, we have high tops, we have the bar, but we have everybody spaced out, even for our handicap seating. It's just to make sure everything is safe. And then after we're done for lunch or brunch, people can still flow in and shop in the front of our store, because now we have a lot of merchandise, again, to help enhance the dining experience, which is cool.
Yeah, that's great. And then
it's really happy.
Is there any, looking ahead to when the weather gets nice, is there any opportunity to do any outdoor seating? I know you're right there on Woodward.
First off, I live for outdoor seating. We have an entire patio. Like,
oh, perfect.
We went all out when COVID first hit. We couldn't get the igloos because we're on Woodward and it's like a really small street, but we have like fire pits and we have seating and we have umbrellas. And I know it's the same thing that'll happen this spring. We also do extended hours, like during when the sun is out a bit longer and people are warm. We have extended hours. We do like wind downs where people can come in and hear live music. It's a lot of cool things that I know will be right back in the spring, and it'll allow people to be able to do things in a safe environment. And people rent our space for like events, so birthday parties, anniversaries, and the same thing. We have it where it's a private event. There's, you know, we have sanitizer all over. We have an amazing, if you can't tell.
Yeah, I was gonna say, why don't you move the camera a little bit?
Let me give you a little basic.
Just a quick tour, yeah.
A little tour. This is where all the cooking classes happen. We're right here, right? A counter, and then I'm gonna show you guys. This is the front of the store. So like you can shop. There's like things for your home. It's really, really, really cool stuff. Anything that will help you in like make your dining experience better. And you can see our bookcase. That's our back kitchen. But like it's a cool place. And then once people actually utilize it for like their own, like a birthday party or a dinner for a granddad or something, like the entire kitchen becomes the space. So it's like the kitchen in my mind is the heart of everybody's home. So I wanted the kitchen to be the same place.
For sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about kind of this, the idea of you're cooking vegan. People sometimes, I'm sure you've run into it many times, is people are a little apprehensive about vegan. They don't really understand. They think it's like
the word vegan scares people.
Eating bland plants to some people. So what are some dishes if I'm dabbled, I've tried different vegan options. I'm not practicing it or anything, but I really do like, you know, some of the vegan food and some of the vegan places. So for someone who's thinking about dipping their toe in the water, are there certain dishes or foods that you kind of offer to them to say, here, we'll try this, and if you like this, maybe you'll be more interested in getting vegan?
So whether you're doing this at home or if you come into the kitchen, at the kitchen, our menu is really, it's really happy, and it's things that you would want to try. So like, you can't go wrong with tacos, right? So we got buffalo cauliflower tacos. They are amazing. Like, they are so good. We have a vegan fish sandwich, which is crazy. We have harvest bowls, which our harvest bowl is like a sweet potato loaded with like sauteed kale, black beans, rice, corn, tomatoes, and avocado salsa. Like, it is good things, and everything has really, really, really good flavor. So whether you're doing this, whether you're coming into the kitchen or you're doing this at home, our biggest thing is the things that when you think about vegan, I think people think it's just gonna be like a bland piece of lettuce. But the reality is, as a meat eater, you don't walk around saying, oh my gosh, I would love some flesh today. That's not what you do. That's not what you do. You're like, if I want some chicken, I want some spicy garlic wings, or I want some. So it's the flavors. So the reality is, the only thing you're doing is you are tricking your mind. So we have buffalo cauliflower wings. So that it makes you feel like you're having a fried piece of chicken, but it's cauliflower. And it's not fried because we don't fry anything, but it's baked. But you get the crunchy, you get the buffalo flavoring. We got vegan ranch, And then that goes, if you don't like buffalo and you want barbecue, it's the same thing. It gives you the taste like you're having something barbecue, but it does it because that's what your mind remembers the flavors. You're not really walking around saying, yo, let me get some flesh today. Nobody says that.
That's a really good point. And I think it helps people understand it, because if you think about it, nobody wants just a boiled piece of chicken breast. That doesn't taste like anything.
Nobody says, oh my God, good.
Right. Yeah. What makes it taste good is the way you cook it, the flavors, the spices.
That's what it is.
The textures, things like that. So you're absolutely right. You know, the meat itself is mostly secondary to people anyway. So if you can recreate the flavor, the texture, all of that, you know, your mouth really won't know the difference, and it'll be better for you in the long run.
We have a dish that our head chef made, and it is like a parm. It's like a parm pasta, and you would not think that it's vegan at all. It's so good. The noodles are always perfect. It's very creamy, like you're having this Parmesan. And then we give people the options. It comes with like zucchini. It's like roasted zucchini, squash inside of the pasta with tomatoes, and then fresh Parmesan on top. But if you're a meat eater, you can add salmon or chicken to it. But it's just not going to be fried. It's going to be like baked or grilled. That's the thing. So. You can literally do it all.
Right. No, for sure. And how do you think about when you're sourcing the ingredients and the produce and the things for your food? How do you think about that?
We really love to shop local. Like if Michigan was a place where you can get the same vegetables 365 days a year, I would win. For us, we like to know where everything came from. We have really good relationships with like local farmers. And some of our, I would say like a Joe Randazzo's, or if you go to like Meijer, they have specific people that you can work with and know where the food comes from. And I think that's what people don't pay attention to. And we kind of do, and we do that on purpose. So we know what we're getting for you is not, you know, crappy food. Cause what is the purpose of us trying to get you to eat to live if I'm just going to serve you something, you know, fast and frozen? That's not what we do. So right. For us, and like, I love when the spring comes around because you can talk to the farmers and they'll grow exactly what you want. That is like the most cycle thing to me. It's amazing. Which we can be like, yo, we go through so much kale. Kale is like, I know that sounds crazy because people are like, vegans always eat kale. But like, our kale is fire. People come here just to get sauteed kale. It is amazing. We go through kale on everything. We give you salads with everything that you order. So whether you get a burger or if you get, our rule is 70-30. You have to have 70% fruits and vegetables, 30% everything else. So even if you order a burger, you have a side salad. We give you a side salad with it on purpose because we want to make sure that it equals out. So my biggest thing is when spring comes, I get to talk to the farmers and figure out what I can plant. And then we get that because we buy what is readily available. I don't want you to get something that has to be frozen. That's why our menu also changes. That's another one of our things. The menu changes because it goes with what nature has readily available for us.
Yeah, that's awesome. I hope that people are watching this before they have a meal because then they're going to be very hungry and they're going to want to come check you out. Is there, if I had to put you down to one dish, if I was coming in for the first time, that I had to make sure I got this dish if I came in?
I would tell you vegan mac and cheese.
Okay. All right. I'm thinking about my order already.
Vegan mac and cheese. People, when I first started, that was the only thing because I didn't know what to do. I was like, well, peel the boat as you go. Go to this marketplace and sell some vegan mac and cheese. The mac and cheese is fire. Okay. You will never believe it is vegan. You will be like, who sent you?
All right. I'm gonna find out for myself. I have no reason to doubt you.
I got you, man.
I'm ready for some. So with that, as we wrap up, I know you mentioned you're active on social media. What are some handles and how can people follow your journey?
So if you are looking to hang out with us, we have two locations for you. If you want to learn how to cook yourself, we have our blog, which is cookingwithq.com, and that's just www.cookingwithque.com. If you are looking for our brick and mortar, it is www.thekitchenbycwq.com. And again, that's our brick and mortar. But honestly, if you go to one, you'll find the other. You can't miss us at all. Everything on social media is hashtag cooking with Q. You'll find us. Don't worry.
Okay. And Instagram as well?
Same. Like everything social media. We try to keep it basic. I'm basic. I can't make it complicated. Everything is like the kitchen, my cooking with Q, or cooking with Q.
Perfect. That makes sense. We'll make sure people find you. It's
Sounds
awesome to talk to you. You got me hungry, so I'm gonna have to get some food. I'm gonna come see you very, very soon.
Please.
And we can't wait to see
Appreciate that.
can't wait to see what you have in store for the next year. I think it'll be great.
Yeah, that's gonna be great. If we can, anyway, if we can get through 2020, we can get through anything. Okay. We still
For
here.
sure.
That's all I'm saying.
Words of wisdom. Well, we'll look forward to talking with you soon, and look forward to stopping by the kitchen.
Have a good one, my dear.
Take care.
Bye.